Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy football podcast in Wisconsin, in all of McGuanago, Wisconsin, the King for a Day fantasy football podcast. I'm your host and commissioner of King for a Day, Rick Goreski, welcoming you to another episode. Specifically, we're continuing our recap of the 2015 kickoff meeting. So any moment here, I'm going to bring Brian, our co-host on these kickoff meeting recaps, on. Let's just to quickly recap, we did go through most of the heavy lifting, talking about the offensive flex vote, the defensive flex vote, the possible penalties for owners who are not sending their lineups, and the kick return bonus. We covered all that in episode one. So episode two is going to feature some smaller items, and let me just dive right in, and Brian, when he gets here, we'll bring him back in. But we tackled a lot of the large-scale changes in part one of the podcast. My hope is we can roll through the rest of this and still have some time for open commentary afterwards. I'd like to revisit some of the topics from part one to make sure that we set the table properly. I'm not whining, I'm just sharing. These shows are 30 minutes with a hard stop, because I do the free service, and sometimes as the host and a co-host, it can feel rushed, or you can feel like, I've got to get this in, and you know maybe we don't take the time to set the table as well as we'd like to. So it does go by fast, and I want to make sure that we both get a chance to toss out specific information. And Brian, I'm going to welcome you in here. The 2003, if I'm not mistaken, king of King for a Day, Brian Koch, of the owner of the Ogres of Old Helm. Welcome aboard, Brian.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. It's great to be back.
I was just filling the audience in on what we're going to talk about here in part two, and what I want to make sure you know is that I want to try to make sure at the end of this that we have time for you to be able to talk a little bit more. These 30-minute shows with a hard stop, I try to stay on schedule, and you didn't get a lot of talk time in episode one. So, sorry, we'll get that fixed here in episode two.
Yeah, not a problem. Go ahead and continue with where you left off.
Sure. So what I'm going to do is toss out the items. You know, there's a lot of – we handled the big stuff in episode one, going to handle some lighter stuff here in episode two, and have a lot of time left at the end. So in the meantime, if you have anything to say, just chime right in.
Yeah, I'll do that. Go ahead and continue.
Okay. Item number nine that we talked about on the agenda was a request to remove extra points from the place kicker bonus equation. And the owner had stated that because the NFL moved the extra point kick backwards, and because our league has that special bonus where if your kicker makes all their kicks, you get a one-time three-point bonus, they wanted to see the extra point removed from that three-point bonus equation. Vote was 5-0 not to pursue that idea, that we think it should be part of the equation, and the guy, the kicker, should just make the kick from 15 yards more. Item 10, we will need new conference reps this coming year. Andy Wellman and Tyler Banier served in 2014. Kurt Kujawa has volunteered to be the Gothic Conference rep. Steve Wellman and Curtis Thrasher volunteered to be the Renaissance Conference rep if others who have not had the opportunity to serve do not step forward. Because, again, myself and a lot of the guys that have served as EC reps, as conference reps, feel strongly that it's a good experience for every owner to have, to be able to see kind of the behind the scenes, what's behind the curtain, and how things are run and what happens. It's a good experience for everybody. So Steve and Curtis are willing if somebody that hasn't had a shot doesn't step forward. And Kurt, I don't think Kurt's been a conference rep at this point, so I'm excited to see that he gets a shot. It is all voted on, so maybe it won't happen that way, but I'm going to throw that out. Item 11, calling attention to some wording changes in the rules related to picking up and dropping players in the same week. Normally, we, as a league, initially the rule was written that it's not allowed, but we, over time, we, what we did allow was that if there was a change to your team, a material change of some form, for instance, you picked up a backup tight end to fill a bye week, and then you ended up making a trade for a starting tight end. Well, you don't need that backup tight end you picked up anymore. So even though the rules say you can't pick up a player and dump them in the same week, you actually have a very good reason. There was a change to your roster, or maybe there was an injury that occurred, and that's why you need to dump that guy and make a different move. Or maybe a different position on your team has become injured, and now you don't have the luxury of that extra roster spot. The point is, there are some situations where you're allowed to do that. So we tried to clarify that in writing for everybody so that they understand that the real intent of the rule has always been that you can't just, you know, kind of machine gun pick guys up and drop them to try to block other people from getting at that position. So if I knew that Brian needed a backup kicker and there were only five kickers out there, I can't deliberately try to grab those five kickers, pick them up, and then drop them all in the same week so that then they're on hold, they're on waivers for the rest of the week, and now Brian's got to go without a kicker for a week. That's not allowed. That's what we're trying to stop. We're not trying to stop somebody who picks up a guy who turns out to be injured, and now, you know, what are they supposed to do? The guy's injured. It doesn't work. So we clarified the rules on that and clarified rules about how you can't text in your moves, and, you know, email is still the official form of the league. I think that's about it on that one. No vote needed on that. It was just for communication purposes. Item 12, one of my favorites, the traditional no vote on having one giant 24-team draft. For anybody who has forgotten or who is still somewhat new to the league, the initial intent of the league going way back in time was that we would someday have a giant 24-team draft. And there would be two of every player available. And then that way everybody would be, you know, you get guys that say, oh, your draft was easy. I wish I was in your draft. I hate hearing that, no matter what draft I'm in. But there would be no comments like that because everybody would be drafting with the exact same people around them. You know, all 24 teams in the same draft would eliminate that, what I call strength of drafting type advantage or disadvantage. It's a pipe dream. You know, guys can barely stand sitting through one single 12-team draft. It would be an all-day event, and we still keep it on there just for tradition. It's kind of a little joke thing. open floor, item 13, some suggestions did come in, one of which is being voted on. Suggestion to lower the draft timer to make the draft go faster. Some guys really hate the draft. The vote was 4-1. To tweak the draft timer rules so that each owner is allotted 2 minutes per pick from rounds 1 through 13 and then 90 seconds per pick from rounds 14 through 26. So again, what we did is we cut the draft in half, said for the first half of the draft you'll get 2 minutes per pick. For the second half of the draft you're getting 90 seconds per pick. This is going to be voted on and approved by a simple majority of owners. It does not need 75% approval. The vote that is out there asks if the league should alter, you know, the draft timer and details how. And this might be the only thing that passes out of all the things that we have going on. Right now it's currently 9 in favor and 4 opposed. 4 more yes votes, and this is going to be a go for this year's draft. I privately will comment that and I disclosed that I was the no vote at the kickoff meeting, and I'm one of the no votes just because we do have a rule as a league where if somebody times out, somebody else can jump over them and make a pick, just like in the real-life NFL draft. And my concern is that sometimes the draft timer's not always kept, you know, exactly precisely as it should be. It's not like, you know, sometimes I've put a timer up at the front and, you know, asked every guy as they make their pick to hit the timer, and guys forget, they screw it up, and I think it's going to be, you know, I'm not going to stand there for 4 hours, 5 hours, and just click the button and run the timer for everybody. So this is going to be a group. Hope all these people that are voting yes are going to be helping run the clock, because it's not going to be just me. Any comments on that one, Brian?
No, I fully agree with that. I think 2 minutes per pick for the full draft is adequate, you know. You know, it's not like we added more roster spots anywhere. That's why we need to shift the timer. To me, I think that a draft that lasts four and a half hours is very relaxing, very nice to do. It's only one time a year that you can do this. And with so many drafts nowadays going online, you know, the personalization of being able to see these guys but once a year is going away with a lot of leagues going to the online stuff. So to me, I disagree. I think we should be staying with the 2 minute timer.
I just worry about, you know, basically I worry about losing control of it. Just as a room, and it's not just me. It's, you know, whatever draft you're in. Sometimes you can lose control of that clock. Who's on the clock? Is the timer running? Oh, no, that's not true. The timer wasn't reset. And I would just hate to see some kind of argument break out because, you know, somebody is trying to skip in front of somebody else because they think they blew the 90-second clock. And, you know, we'll see, because I do have a feeling this is going to pass and it should be interesting. But I do want to disclose that, you know, and I don't think anybody could, in all fairness, expect me to sit there for 5 hours and just click the timer button for everybody. This is going to be something that all of us are going to have to help police, and all of us are going to have to help take care of by clicking that draft timer, hitting that button after every pick. We will have more arguments with people skipping, though, because it's bound to happen with 90 seconds that some guys not having that extra 30 seconds are going to get skipped. Suggestion, open floor suggestion number 2, eliminate the existing league tiebreaker for the number 6 seed. This is the rule that allows all teams that tie for the number 6 seed to make the playoffs. The vote was 4-1 not to change the rules. And I'm going to, while I'm sitting here, see if I can't find the poll that we did just last year. That was one of the polls that we did talking about what guys wanted to see, what they didn't want to see as far as rule changes. Last year we started doing some different polls and everything. I'm going to, if I find it, I'll bring it up. But it went down 4-1 to leave the tiebreaker rules alone. Suggestion 3, the addition of tackles for a loss or quarterback hits to the league. As much as I would love to do this, our league website doesn't provide us with these options, and I have written them again this year. I have written them in the past, real-time fantasy sports. For as much as we like the basic setup of their system, I'm going to be very honest, as a guy who has been the commissioner of this league for years, their customer service is not that friendly. They're not, you know, they're great if you take what they give you and pay the fee. They'll operate. They'll function. They'll come through for you. But as far as, hey, I want you to, you know, give me decimals, you know, I'm going to set up a dynasty league and I want you to give me increments of 50 cents, not just dollars. They're very, almost rude at the request of changes, and I've asked them in the past about things like quarterback hits and things that we could do to help our defensive side, and they just are not implementing any of it. So whether they add it or not, I don't know, but I think that if the site fails to act at some point, we have to start to look elsewhere as a league and just say, well, maybe, you know, as long as we've been on this site, for the money that we're paying, they can't provide simple statistics like quarterback hits. I mean, come on, that's a basic stat that a lot of other sites already have. I know it's in the game book. If you go into the NFL game books on any Sunday and you look, quarterback hits is a stat. So it's a little bit beyond me why that would be a big deal. This one, change the names of the divisions. Brian, would you like to detail the change the names of the divisions fight topic?
Yeah, that was something that we had talked about probably, you know, maybe, I don't want to say 12 years ago at one point. And, you know, we have the theme of King for a Day, to me, it means, you know, we have Renaissance and Gothic. So obviously, you know, you're going back to the Renaissance era when you're thinking about this. And, you know, we have colors as opposed to having something that would relate to Renaissance era, you know, like maybe certain weapons or certain type of figureheads, you know, such as King, Queen, and Joker. Another thing would be axes, swords, and bows or crossbows. Those are things that I kind of wanted to kind of indulge into and kind of, you know, formulate and work into. But unfortunately, at this point, it's been kind of just shut down. I think people just like the norm of just having the colors and just kind of keep running with that. But, you know, eventually, you know, if the time ever comes, you know, yeah, maybe we can try to, you know, put that together. Maybe it just takes a little bit of brainstorming and having a little bit more final detail of what works and kind of going from there. I think that's, you know, change is always good again. Go ahead.
Nope. I was letting you tackle that one. I have found the poles that I was digging out earlier to see where things were last year. And if you'll hang with me for 1 second as I find this. I know we talked about basic ties, which people didn't want to add a tiebreaker. They were okay just leaving regular ties go. And no, I can't find that particular setting. So the hell with it. Let's just go on with the rest of this. That was the end of the meeting. We drew cards for the draft order at this point. The Gothic Conference is the AM draft. The draft order is Damage Inc. got the first pick. Make It Rain got the second pick. Gracie's got Game with the third pick. Fourth pick went to A-Team. Fifth pick, D-Risk. Sixth pick, Muskego Raiders. Seventh pick is 4U2NV. Believe it or not, I want to confess that I didn't know what that meant at first. And one day I was talking to Bork, and I was like, "He was what?" He's like, "4U2NV?" And I'm like, oh, I felt pretty stupid. But eighth overall is Wolfpack. Ninth pick, the Old Helm Ogres, the Ogres of Old Helm. 10th pick was the Pale Riders. 11th pick, the Hurricanes. 12th pick overall, Legion of Doom. For the afternoon draft, the Renaissance Conference, we start out with the first pick, the Irishmen. Meat Puppets were second. Made Men, third. Beerman's Brawlers get the fourth pick overall. I think that's the highest they've picked in a while. Gators, fifth. Phantoms, sixth. Kenosha Commandos, 7th, Typhoons, 8th, Lost in the Sauce, 9th, Dirty Hippies, 10th, Saiyans, 11th, and Champions of Chaos, 12th. So, the divisions are updated on the website. Everything, the schedule is actually updated on the website as well, if people didn't know that, so you can go and see who you play. The meeting was adjourned at this point. Brian, I'd like to, with our remaining 11 minutes, as much as that, well, let's call it 10 minutes even, because I've got a nice close to the show planned. Is there anything that, you know, I want to give you a chance to talk here, and it's important because I don't want guys to just hear me talk. You were at the meeting. What did you feel about the meeting, or what do you want your fellow owners to know about these different votes that we're taking? Is there any one vote you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I mean, this goes back to episode one of our podcast here. You know, and I really just want to go ahead and emphasize the importance of looking at the future of the league again. You know, the running backs are becoming thinned out. You know, your big name guys, Marshall Faulk, Emmitt Smith, you know, Priest Holmes, you know, those guys, you know, they're a flash in the pan nowadays. You know, they run hard for two or three seasons, then they're done. And then they start fading down the stretch. If you go ahead and you look at Fantasy Football Index, there's a real nice article in there about the running back decline in the NFL and statistics behind it. It used to be back in like the 90s, the 80s, once a running back reached the age of like 28, their life cycle was at the decline at the age of 28. Now, with today's statistics and numbers, they're saying that the age of 26 and a half, is where the running backs start seeing that big, sharp decline. You know, they're taking these young guys and are running them out there. And they're letting them get beat up by these you know, defensive linemen that are weighing, you know, an extra 100 pounds more than them. You know, so, I mean,
and
you go ahead.
Brian,
and
if I could just throw something in to support you, that's one of the reasons why, to connect this for everybody out there, that's why we're seeing more running back by committees, because these guys, like, we're just average Joes that put a couple of bucks on the table and we have a good time with this for several months. This is their life. These GMs, these coaches, these organizations, these scouts, it's everything, and millions of dollars are on the line. The studies that they've done have shown that if you just run one guy, that he'll wear down, he'll break down, and his performance goes down. That's why they do these running back by committees.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree with that. In which case, then you're taking what used to be a 1,000-yard rusher or even a 1,200-yard rusher, and now you're taking two guys that make 600 yards and, you know, a handful of touchdowns. I mean, when I say handful, it means five touchdowns or less a season. You know, so, and then when you go ahead and you do have a guy who has that big breakout season for, you know, 15, 16, 1,800 yards, the next season they come back and they're just flattened out. You know, they're just too tired and they just their bodies are just, you know, they've already taken the beating. So Terrell Davis is a prime example. Look at the guy. He was a 2,000-yard rusher. He won a Super Bowl, and actually he won two Super Bowls with the Denver Broncos. And then he blew his ACL in 1999 and never came back to form. And he's on the bubble of whether he's ever going to see the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's been a guy that's right there, but because he doesn't have enough years in, because he only lasted 6 years in the league, you know, he's on the bubble of whether he's ever going to see the Hall of Fame. He's definitely to the point where he can be qualified for it because he has enough years after he retired. But it's just, does he have enough years in? You go ahead and you look at Sterling Sharp, that's another guy that, who knows, he may never see the Hall of Fame because of his shortened career. These running backs are...
Well, to your point, in addition to the lack of basically the way the game has changed, and there are fewer bell cow, if I may call them that, running backs, there's also been an influx in passing due to changes in the rules. Quarterbacks have more, you can barely touch the damn quarterback now, and you'll get a flag. That has led to a lot more passing in the NFL, a lot more passing yardage, a lot more passing offense, three wide receiver sets, just more focus on the passing game, even passing two running backs, pass-catching running backs like Sproles may end up being in New Orleans this year. So the point is that while you can't find a number, it's not that you can't find it, it's just that with the way the NFL rule changes and the game is played, that number two running back is getting a little tougher to fill. It's not that it's tougher to fill. You and I talked about this earlier today. The proper way to say it is that more luck has been introduced into the equation when it comes to picking that second running back than there used to be. You used to have a much higher percentage chance, going back to when we created King for a Day, you could get two solid running backs, and you could get two solid receivers. In fact, it was harder to fill your receiver spots going back in time for all the guys that played way back when. But now, in many cases, not every case, but in many cases, it's harder to fill that number two running back spot than it is to find a third receiver. For some teams, they could find that third receiver easier than they could fill that, or they could find a second tight end.
Yeah, absolutely. I fully agree with what you just said there, Rick. You know, the league has definitely changed. And, you know, I mean, if you really, really look back at the history of football, I mean, back in the 1960s, I mean, if you had a quarterback who threw for 10 passes in a full game, that was, you know, a big game for the guy. It was a running game to be played back in the 1960s, 1970s. It was a ground and pound. But now it has changed to the point now where it is not it has changed so much over the last 10 years here, our last 20 years, that right now it's a passing game. You know, these quarterbacks are coming out of college much more developed than they used to.
And the thing is that we talked about at the meeting that I think is good for us to share with everybody right now is the fact that, okay, what do we do? Some guys say, well, just add a flex or just add a third receiver. Okay, receivers are up, but there's not enough for everybody to get three. You know, that would just, now we're doing the same. We take away the one, nobody wants to increase the draft, first of all, which I'm not against increasing it, but the far majority of ownership don't want the draft to be any longer than it is. So, okay, I recognize that. We're trying to work within those parameters. So the only way that you can tweak the offense then would be to eliminate one of the running backs and then change that into what? You can't mandate a wide receiver because there's not enough to go around. You know, okay, so some guys go, well, make it into a flex. Well, my position has been, if you compare it to economics, you inadvertently, you're toying with the market. You're picking winners and losers when you do that, and it screws up everything that is there now that is good about the league. You know, those guys that come in and feel they could, wow, you all right there, man? I was just commenting that the dynamics will be different. If you add in, whereas right now we have my two running backs against your two running backs, my two receivers against your two receivers. If you just change that and invoke one single flex, that's going to raise the value of getting the top running backs. People are going to gobble them up even faster than they do right now. And then other people will gobble the top wide receivers. It's just going to, it'll mess things up. That's why I'm an advocate for just open them all up then. Open all four offensive pieces up and let people in the draft. Now it's back to even. You know, we're all looking for offense. Now they're just offensive pieces. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah, it's, I mean, it's going to change too many dynamics of the game as far as draft strategies. You know, just too many quirks can go ahead and go wrong. And you know what's really funny about this whole thing is that if you go ahead, and I've been thinking about this afternoon a little bit, if you go ahead and you mandate two running backs, that means where are the running backs going? They're going in the first three rounds. They're just going to fly off the board, meaning that you have a guy like myself who's willing to go ahead and trade away my first-round draft pick. And now the draft pick should be almost valued a little bit higher because you're mandating those two positions as far as the two running back, and you want to have two running backs that are going to go ahead and be able to carry your team into the next level, which is the Super Bowl or the playoffs, you know. So to me, I think that keeping it to a four flex position would definitely handicap that first round trade out that people are looking for doing.
Well, I just think every league I've been in that has a flex position, all that happens, and everyone is predictable, and to me it's no fun, all that happens is a mad dash at the running backs, more so than what you see in a league where everybody knows they have to get two. Because what happens is people try to gobble them up, not just for their team, but to keep them away from other people. And the last thing I want to say, because we have about 30 seconds left, I'll say this quickly. I think, to me, if I could pick one thing that's the most important change, it's the defensive change, rule change 4 that's being proposed, because we've got to do something to soup up defense. We've got to get more scoring, got to get more guys off of free agency and onto people's rosters and do it in a natural way. And eliminating that one defensive lineman spot, changing it to a defensive flex, I think that's fine. The linebackers and defensive backs, to me, are kind of scoring. Yeah, of course, a lot of people would prefer a higher scoring linebacker, but there's a lot of good defensive backs, especially with the way the NFL game is changing, the passing, that come into play naturally. Those offensive changes affect defense. When you got teams like Philly and Green Bay that are trying to pass the air out of the ball, I mean, that's affecting the defensive side of the ball, too. So any final comments, Brian, because I'm going to close her down?
No, I know the time is short here at this point, so I would just like to say that please consider your votes when you are casting your votes, why we're talking about this and putting forth the time and effort to make this happen to better the league and make it more challenging and more fun.
All right, Brian, take care. I'm going to close her out here with John Candy from Summer Rental.
All right. Have a great night.
Party down there! Down there!
I was here first.
Get the hell out of here now.
Here, fella. I'm trying to watch the Smurfs.